follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaHealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Brandi Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Brandi Rolfe.
Hello, this is Randi Rolfe, your host for Family First on the Voice America Network, and today we're speaking about how to teach your child the other kind of smart. I'm very excited about this show. Many of us parents leave it to the schools to teach our children the academic smarts, which we hope will get them into good schools or land them a good job, and we assume that their IQ, their intellectual smarts, is mostly genetic. But what about emotional smarts? Can it be measured? Can it be taught? Might it be a better predictor of future success than the IQ or even academic standing? What's its impact on the relationships at work and at home that impact our happiness and success the most? Is this a kind of smarts that parents can actually foster in their children? My guest is Harvey Deutschendorf, a trained expert in evaluating and teaching emotional intelligence. He coaches people in both their personal and business life to improve their recognition and management of their emotions in ways that can dramatically improve their lives and in a surprisingly short time. So I'm very excited to introduce Harvey, and I want to tell you a little more about him before we get started. He's passionate about emotional intelligence and its impact on our lives, and he's written a wonderful book called The Other Kind of Smart, Simple Ways to Boost Your Emotional Intelligence for Greater Personal Effectiveness and Success. Harvey shares his passion in numerous presentations and to international audiences. He's certified to administer the Bar-On EQI, which is the first scientifically validated test for emotional intelligence approved by the American Psychological Association. Harvey comes from an extensive background in career development and social work, and he's a member of the Human Capital Institute, the Writers Guild of Alberta, Canada, and Toastmasters. He's also a member of the Mankind Project, a men's organization dedicated to personal improvement and community service. His mission is to help people bring more power and joy into their lives. He also enjoys music, mountain hiking, travel, movies, red wine, and sharing with friends. And he comes to us from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So welcome, Harvey.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to being on your show, Randy.
Thanks. I'm so glad. We met just a month ago at a wonderful seminar for authors, and I was just so intrigued by the work you're doing, and it's the kind of thing that I try to teach parents through my parenting books. So what is emotional intelligence, or EI?
Emotional intelligence is our ability to, first of all, recognize and understand our emotions and the emotions of and manage our emotions, and then the both recognize, understand, and manage the emotions of others around us.
Cool. So is that okay to manage the emotions of those around us?
Well, I'm not sure if we can totally manage their emotions of others around us, but we can certainly, to a large degree, we can influence others' emotions, those around us. And that's very important, I think, when we have, for families, with children as well. So, I can tell you a little story about how that works. I was a few years ago, I was in a going to a park with my friend Linda, and she had her two grandchildren with her, little Josh, and he's about six, and then older brother Eric was about 10. And typical of little families, the older brother had done something to upset Josh. So Josh was crying, away, and Linda said to him, he said, "Josh, understand you have to cry because, you feel you've been hurt. But if you have to stop in about 5 minutes, otherwise you're going to have to go and sit in the car." And a couple more sobs, and he said, "Okay." And it was over. In a few minutes, he's playing with his brother again. It all been over. Like, I was so used to when children get upset with their parents or whatever. There's this long, drawn-out sort of battle of wills between them. The child cries louder, and the parents get more and more upset. And I was just so shocked how easy this went, how very, very easy. And what she had done, basically, is acknowledged that he had him, he felt hurt. He had the right to his emotions, but also that there was a limit upon, which he could. There's a time for his emotions, and then there was a time to move on. After a certain time, that it would sort of impinge upon the rights of her and, his older brother to have a good time in the park. So it was just, I was just totally amazed by how well she'd handled that.
So that's a great story. So the way that one would influence other people's behavior is to respond in a certain intelligent way yourself. When the child's crying, you don't just turn the whole world upside down for it. You acknowledge it and let them process it and then get on with life. That's a great example.
Yeah.
What kinds of things will people learn from your book, The Other Kind of Smart?
Well, from the book, they will learn how to, first of all, the different areas that make up emotional intelligence. They will learn how to pinpoint what the areas that they're doing well in, that they're very, very strong in, and they can feel good about. Also, they'll find areas that perhaps they need to do some work on, and those are called growth areas. And at the end of each one of the areas, there's a list of some very, very basic techniques. So if they find an area that they say, well, this is something I need to do some work on, there's some really, really, five or six basic techniques that they can use in every day to increase their functioning in those particular areas.
So they would be able to practice these techniques in their everyday relationships with family and work?
Exactly, yes. They could. And it's the stories in the book are both situations are both at work, and there's situations that happen every day, sort of in the home, everyday types of situations. And there's situations that most people have faced at some point or know somebody that's faced. So it's very, very practical, sort of everyday types of things that we can all do to increase our functioning.
Can you give an example, Harvey, of say an area that a parent might find they need some growth in? Like maybe the woman in the playground would have reacted and tried to comfort the child and get emotionally upset herself about how the boys interacted. How would that be described as a growth area?
Well, that would be a growth area in that if Linda, the grandmother, if her thing was that she would get upset very easily. Her grandson's crying. If it would have something that would have triggered some frustration or anger in her, she could have easily, lashed out at him and got upset at him, and it would have made him, cry even more. It would have put him. But if she had any of those types of impulses, she was able to sort of keep them under wraps and say, I'm going to deal with this in a different way. I will just relax, and I will acknowledge his hurt, his anger, whatever his feelings at this point, and just very, very calmly react to it. She was able to react. She was able to totally control her emotions and react in a very, very good, effective way, not let her own emotions get in the way of the whole process.
That makes a lot of sense. Do you think, I'm thinking that today people are so busy with their schedules that sometimes where they might be able to catch themselves, say, 20 years ago, today there's just less time to think through a response. And is that maybe one reason that emotional intelligence has come to the fore?
Well, I think today you're right, Randy. There's a lot more, I guess, stress, and stress we people react to it with a lot of frustration, and will react in ways that we wouldn't if we were under sort of less stress. So we have to, when that happens, in a lot of situations, we're feeling very frustrated, and if we're feeling that way, that the thing to do is to remove ourselves from that situation. There's things we can do when we're finding we're going to react in a way that we don't want to react in, that we may regret later. But just maybe take a few breaths and maybe count to 10, or do something that will distract us from reacting that way for long enough that we're able to get a control of our emotions and think through how we would like to react, think through what kind of an ending we would like for that. And in certain situations, basically take a time out, walk away, don't react, don't say anything until we've had a chance to process the whole thing.
That makes a lot of sense. So how can one find out how much emotional intelligence we have?
Well, there's a test that we can take, and it's at the back of my book. There's an official test, but what I recommend for most people is that I've administered this test to hundreds of people, but for most people that I've administered it to, they have known themselves well enough, they're aware enough that they were able to guess, looking at the different areas, which areas they'd be strong in, and which would be their high areas, and which would be the areas they would be weakest in. So basically, going through these different areas, for most people, the test would only confirm what they're strong in and also what they're weak in. They would be aware enough to know that the areas that work for them and the areas that don't work so well.
So this test may just help them get to know themselves a little better. On your website, you have a nice little quiz, which I was very pleased to see. I came out quite well. So that's a lot of fun. People can go to your website, and that's the other kind of smart, right? That's the name of the website? Okay. And so they can just go right there and get an idea of what level they're at, and probably be pleasantly surprised. So this is not some kind of soft science. It really is measurable nowadays. Is that correct?
Well, yes, it's quite measurable, and there's been a lot of research done, a lot of studies, and so all of the studies that have been done on it and have come up with the notion that emotional intelligence certainly does make a difference in our lives. And one of the recent tests that has come out and has shown that in business, in a way, isn't about 90% of the top performers are high in emotional intelligence. So there is just a lot of research that is backing up the idea of that emotional intelligence is as important, if not more important, than our IQ for how well we do in life.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're speaking with Harvey Deutschendorf, the author of The Other Kind of Smart, Simple Ways to Boost Your Emotional Intelligence for Greater Personal Effectiveness and Success. And we were just talking about how emotional intelligence is very measurable and a lot has been done in the business field. And I think it's fascinating that so much of this work is done in business because it affects the bottom line, but it does apply to all our relationships. And in my books, I've tried to use some of those new communication techniques that have been developed over the decades in business and apply them in relationships because business tends to figure out what works best. Harvey, I'd love to talk more about whether you're born with emotional intelligence or do you develop it later in life?
Well, it's actually both, Randy. We are born with a certain amount of it. And, of course, if our parents are highly emotional intelligent and the people that we hang around with sort of that influence the most in our lives are highly emotional intelligent, we are likely to be born with a good degree of it, but some of us aren't that fortunate. But the good news for those of us that aren't that fortunate as well is that we can improve it at any point in our lives. All we have to do is be aware, be willing to do some things, to make some changes, to start practicing some new. More better ways, effective ways of doing things, and we can improve our emotional intelligence, and to a great degree. I mean, I'm a living walking example of that, and so are a lot of other people that I've met and talked to and worked with. I've seen some just really amazing changes. I've seen people really turn their lives around, just totally transform their lives using just some basic things in emotional intelligence and doing them, practicing them consistently and living them. And yeah, it's just phenomenal. It's just totally so exciting.
Oh, that reminds me of one of my earliest family counseling clients. So I was working with two parents, and the husband said it was a completely new idea that he should actually think about that he had more than one option of what he would say. He was quite a wisecracker, and it mm-hmm. really rubbed his wife and his children the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And it was a new idea to him that he could actually stop and think of a nicer thing to say. And that was eye-opening to me, that this was something he could actually learn.
Well, yes, for a lot of people. A lot of people think that's just the way I am. That's the way I'm born, and there's nothing I can do. But it's not at all. I mean, you know, we are what we make ourselves, and we have options as to how we want to live our lives and how we want to think and act. So that's very empowering to realize that.
That's so cool. So what actually brought you to emotional intelligence? What got you interested in it? Can you tell your story a bit?
Okay, well, the story goes back to when I was just got out of university. I was trained as a social worker, And my very first job, I worked on a palliative care unit, it's like a hospice where people go and, you know, they're spending their last days. There's no more really active treatment for them. And I was just basically thrown onto the unit and said, go talk to those people. And I was terrified. I had no idea what to say to those people. Here I was young, lots of life ahead of me, and here's talking to people who in some cases had, you know, weeks to live, and in some cases maybe days left in their lives. So I went up to the first man, and he looked at me and he says, relax, Harvey. And the thing is, I didn't have to say much at all. All I had to do was listen. I listened to people talking about their lives, basically, going back over the lives, and in cases that people had lived the lives that they've wanted, had done the things that they've really wanted to, they were quite at peace. They were quite at peace with this, with their end coming. And then I talked to other people who really, really had not lived their lives, and that was it. Their time was running out. It was very, very sad. It was actually really, really heart-wrenching. And at that point, I became actually really frightened, and I thought, boy, I better do what I need to do in my life. I better reach my potential. I don't want to end up with regrets at this point in my life. So going, you know, a few years down the road, and my life wasn't going as well as it wanted, as I thought it should be, or as well as I wanted to do. I didn't have the job that I wanted to. I didn't have the relationship that I wanted to, the friends. And I looked around and I thought, you know, there's people that I know I'm smarter than them. They're doing better than I am. So I knew it wasn't, you know, my IQ. And, you know, my teachers had told me that I was a bright enough guy. It was something else. So I read Daniel Goleman's book, Emotional Intelligence, and I sort of had one of these aha moments. Here is the answer. This is what it is. So I need to learn more about this stuff, and I need to learn how to actually use it. So I just threw myself into it. I started taking training workshops. I read whatever I could on it. I did talks, and then as I did the talks, I got excited about this, and the people in the audience got excited too. And then they would come up to me at the end and say, "Can you recommend an easy to read book that I can get into and use, start using this stuff and learn about this?" And then I said, "No, there isn't. All the books out there are very academic or they're business oriented." So I was determined at that point I needed to get a book out there that would allow people to actually understand emotional intelligence and then understand basically how it works in their world in real life, and then how to actually use it so it works. So that's where I am today. I've done that. So it's very, very very, feels very, very good.
Oh, I'm sure it does. That sounds wonderful. So how would someone go about increasing their emotional intelligence?
Well, what they would do is if they would go through particular areas, for example, if you go through, there's 15 different areas, okay, and if you would go through the book and you'd say, okay, this is the one thing that I really, really, really have problems in is assertiveness, okay? I really don't speak up for myself. I don't really ask for what, you know, I need or anything like that. People just sort of push me around. Then one of the simple techniques is if you go into a restaurant, you know, you don't really, there's something wrong with your meal, but you're kind of too timid to say anything. Practice saying directly, asking for what you want. And then when the person comes around that's serving you, ask. Don't take, I'm sorry to ask, whatever, but ask directly. Practice it if you have to, but ask in a very polite but direct way. And keep practicing doing that, because at first it will be difficult. It will be very difficult because you're trying something new. But it will get easier, and you'll notice it getting easier. And it'll start getting easier actually very, very quickly. And so all of those areas have different little techniques like that you can use every day to improve those areas.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the Total Education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello again. This is Randy Rolfe speaking with Harvey Deutschendorf. He's passionate about emotional intelligence, and he's written a wonderful book to make it very practical and accessible for people to improve their emotional intelligence for family life, home, and work. And it's called The Other Kind of Smart, Simple Ways to Boost Your Emotional Intelligence for Greater Personal Effectiveness and Success. And what we've been talking about is how people can improve their emotional intelligence. And Harvey, when between the child and parent, I'm always a big advocate of modeling. So it's not just how the parent interacts with the child, but how the child sees the parent interacting in other situations. And you just gave a great example of a restaurant. Children are always watching, and that's one way that parents can show kids how to respond in different situations. Is that so?
Oh, exactly. Children model their parents, and they will follow their parents' example. So if they see their parents getting upset, out of control, they will think that that's fine, because they will act the way they see their parents acting, and so parents, yes, basically, learning to control their emotions and be acting appropriately, things like that. If they see parents that are able to share their feelings and are okay and things like that, comfortable, the children will be learn to be comfortable with their feelings and learn to share their feelings. And if they see their parents are able to feel empathy, show kindness to others, they will model those things. They will learn those things. They'll learn what their parents will model for them. Exactly.
Great. I think so often you'll see parents and a child having a screaming match in a mall or something. And I think many parents are almost afraid of their children's emotions because they don't know how to ratchet it down. So emotional intelligence can help them do that?
Yes, it can. And in a lot of cases, when there's a screaming match going on, it's actually the parent's child coming out and screaming with their own child. So it's the parents not being able to manage their emotions very effectively either. So those kind of things only get worse. Somebody has to remain calm, and somebody has to not get caught up in the emotions of it. And of course, it's the parent that has to do that. The child doesn't have the skill or the tools to do that. So it has to be the parent that is able to go beyond their emotions and reach out to the child in another manner.
And that's a real power that emotional intelligence gives you, that if you can be the calm one in a situation, I think you can really change the whole atmosphere. Isn't that so?
Yeah, I think so. And if you can remain calm, you know, a lot of cases just remain calm, the child will calm down. If you're able to you know, soothe the child, be calm, you know, and if they see that, they will be able to calm down as well. Their emotions will mimic what they see happening in their parents. If a parent is getting upset and the parent is getting highly emotional and getting, then they will escalate that as well. So a lot of it is just the child mimicking what they see and actually feel, because they do feel a lot coming from their parents, much more than sometimes we think about all the time. But they can feel things that are coming from the parents. So if the parent is highly agitated, you know, they will feel a lot of stress as well.
Now, as the parent is learning, their improving their emotional intelligence, and they do kind of lose it, is it a good idea for them to go back to the child and say, well, you know, I could have reacted a different way?
Sure it is. I mean, it is, and it gives a very, you know, it's a very healthy message to give to the child, first of all. The message to the child is, even though, you know, you make a mistake sometimes, it's okay. You can go back and you can correct it and change it, and you know, it's okay to be wrong. It's okay to apologize, and that's a very, very good message to give to children, to give them very early on, is that you know, you make a mistake, you go back and do what you can to change it, correct it, and then you try to do a little different next time. Yeah.
Very cool. So what are some of the benefits that people will experience when they increase their emotional IQ, or their EI, I should say?
EI. Well, they'll be, all of their lives will work better. They'll be able to get a better grasp of their own feelings, their own emotions, be much more in control of them. A much better understanding of what others around them are going through, better ways to relate with others, and that will work at work, and it works, of course, in with our own families, our immediate families, with friends, and basically everybody around us. So we'll be able to just, things will go smoother, things will go a lot more easier. Life sort of becomes, the world becomes an easier place to function in. It becomes a much friendly place. Well, things go much more, things go easier. It's sort of like the lubricant in life. And, you know, if we get enough lubricant, things will work a lot more smoothly and work a lot better. And we'll just be happier. We'll just be overall happier people.
Well, that's a huge benefit in today's busy, stressful world, to make things smoother and easier and a little happier. That's a good thing. I want to ask what the relationship is between IQ and emotional intelligence. There's been so much focus in most of the 20th century on testing intelligence. What's the relationship between the two?
Well, Randy, there's really the studies that have been done on IQ and EI show there's really no correlation between IQ and emotional EI, emotional intelligence, which means that somebody can have a very high IQ, can also have quite high emotional intelligence, but not necessarily. They may also have very, very low emotional intelligence. And we all know people like that, you know, people that we've been back to our high school reunion. We've seen people that maybe got the highest marks in school, but now aren't really doing all that well, and we've also seen people that, you know, didn't get the highest marks. You know, we didn't really think based on their school grades or anything that they do very much. But now we're doing very, very well, and the world is full of those people that have become very, very successful, but, you know, didn't do very well in school. So we know that there's something else that has a lot to do with us being successful. Of course, I mean, having an IQ is a good thing. I mean, and if we have high emotional intelligence, we're in a very, very good place. I mean, that we can take advantage of that IQ. But if we only have a high IQ but don't have the emotional intelligence, in a lot of cases, that IQ will go to waste because we don't have the other part of what we don't have the tools to really use our IQ effectively and get the most out of it.
So you may have a whole lot of knowledge, but not really have the emotional relationship smarts to be able to benefit and share it with others.
Oh, precisely right. I mean, we think of the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. He was brilliant, very, very high IQ, and of course Ted Bundy as well. He was a brilliant man, and could have done a lot for society if it would have been used in a positive way. But then, and there's all kinds of examples out there, very, very brilliant people that have not only haven't done very much with their lives, but done very destructive things as well as that. And on the other hand, there's people that, you know, didn't do well at all in school that have become very, very successful and have done a lot for the world.
Mm-hmm. So if our IE is at a high level, it still helps to have a high IQ. It doesn't mean we can do without it.
Oh, sure. I like to use the analogy of a race car, and we're not, the race car isn't basically, in this case, we're racing against other race cars, but the engine of the car is our IQ. The driver is the EI, or the emotional intelligence. So we can have a very, very powerful engine in this car. If we get a driver that doesn't know how to drive, he's going to crash into the wall. He's, you know, it's not going to go too far. On the other hand, you've got not the most powerful engine, not the highest IQ, but if you've got a driver that's very, very skillful, has a lot of emotional intelligence, can do quite well, can actually go quite a ways in life. And of course, if you have a combination of both, you know, you've got a very, very you've got a very strong combination, and you've got a really winning combination for life. You're really set if you have both of those things. But again, you don't need to have a high IQ to do quite well.
So that's sort of like what people talk about, having that street savvy, that sense of how to build relationships. Even if you're not the smartest, you can attract people that have the smarts that will complement yours.
Oh, exactly. When I look back in my high school days, I mean, it just all sort of becomes very, very clear, because there was to my reunion, and there was a fellow there, Michael, who got the highest marks of everybody there, and we thought, oh, he's going to go on to, you know, change the world, he's going to do wonderful things. Well, he didn't. He ended up just smoking a lot of pot and working on a highway crew. And there's another fellow, Ron, didn't even finish. And what I remember of Ron, he was very, very charming, and I wasn't one of the popular kids. And Ron was this good-looking guy, but he always took the time to say hello to me, and he was very friendly and to everybody like that. He had such good people skills, and he showed up at his reunion in a motor home, and he's got a beautiful house, and he's very, very, very successful in business. But you could understand why. He has real skills, had real skills in connecting with people, and sort of a real warmth, a real good personality, a lot of people skills. So there you go. That's, you know, it really, really makes sense when you look at people that are doing well.
It's a really valuable concept. And is emotional intelligence a new idea, or has it been around for a while, Harvey?
Well, the idea of emotional intelligence has been around Since the Greeks, I mean, Aristotle spoke about it's one thing to be angry, but it's, we need to be angry at the right time, for the right reason, with the right person. And that's really emotional intelligence rolled up into, you know, a very basic way of putting it. And then, so the idea was there, but like the idea for an airplane was, you know, Da Vinci had an idea for an airplane. We didn't have the technology till, you know, around the time of the Wright brothers to actually build an airplane. The same thing with emotional intelligence. They had an idea for what this whole concept of emotional intelligence, but it's only been since the 1900s that people have started to really study. We've known enough about human behavior. They found ways to put parameters around what is emotional intelligence, define it, find ways of measuring it, looking at it, and then also find ways that we can improve it. So, yeah, we've had a concept of it, but forever. But we didn't know until recently how to really put it together in a way that we could use. So that's the new part of it.
That's very cool. So who uses emotional intelligence today, and how do they use it?
The emotional intelligence is mainly been used in businesses, and it's been used for a large part in recruiting, employment recruiting. It's used for team building. It's used a lot in leadership, and there's probably, you'd be hard pressed to find a leadership program anywhere in North America that doesn't have some concept of emotional intelligence, some aspect of emotional intelligence in it. So it's been used in business because they found it to be, you know, it works. They're always looking for ideas that work. They're always looking for ways to find the right people and to get the most out of people. So and they've also had money, of course, to do their research and study. So, but it's starting to be used in schools. It's used in the British school system's got a program called SEAL, the Social Emotional Aspects of Learning, that has been for about half a dozen years now. They've implemented this, and it's an official program to all the schools. There are some schools in the States that are toying with the idea. The Obama administration, there's Senator George Miller in California, was looking at using some stimulus dollars to actually put emotional intelligence programs into schools. Now, you know, with the economic situation, those things have probably been shelved, but it is starting to be felt in schools. School systems
That's
are starting
great.
To learn about it, yeah.
Yeah, we're up on another break, and we'll be back to discuss some more about how that's being used. Thank you.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the Total Education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Hello again. We're talking with Harvey Deutschendorf, the author of The Other Kind of Smart, Simple Ways to Boost Your Emotional Intelligence. And he was just explaining how it's starting to be looked at in schools as well as in business. And I wanted to ask you, Harvey, about there's an awareness that many kids are brilliant at the IT and the computer science, but they're so much on top of their computer work that they aren't developing this kind of emotional intelligence, how to build relationships. So can you comment on that?
Yes, I think there is a real, well, with the technology and computer, I think it's even you know, kids that would be normally sort of tend to maybe isolate, now that they have the computers and these types of tools that we have now, the technology allows them to do it even to a larger degree. But you know, there's a real problem though. These kids, if they get out of school, they may be able to get a job. That's their first job. But if they want to be promoted, if they want to, at some point, it involves working with others, supervising others, working with customers, working with coworkers. And there you need emotional intelligence. You need some people skills. So there, you know, these people are that haven't picked that up in school, aren't able to relate to other people very well, will have a very, very difficult time in life. Their life will be very, very limited, and they'll be sort of pigeonholed in certain areas of society, not only in their life, but in their relationships as well. Personal relationships, you know, developing family relationships, they'll have a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, and as we were talking about before, of overreacting to their children's emotions, perhaps, or having trouble with their spouse. Can you give us some examples of some well-known people that are recognized for their high emotional intelligence? Get a feel for this.
Well, Oprah is one that's very... She's very highly emotionally intelligent. She has a very good understanding of, first of all, I think, her own emotions, and has a good grasp of her own emotions, and can relate just to a variety of people in a very sort of engaging and in a very warm way. And she has just made a whole become very, very successful as being somebody who is able to do that. And that's very, very widely recognized, just being able to develop relationship with others, just her way of engaging the audience and her guests and things like that. Another one we don't normally maybe think of that I think is very highly emotionally intelligent was just retired was Larry King. And Larry King's often been accused of, you know, putting out puffball questions to his guests, but I don't think he does that. I think Larry King had a very, very astute way of listening to people and connecting with people. And some of the guests that he had on were people really liked and would love to talk to. But he had guests on that really, really sort of despicable people. And he even drew them out, and he was able to, you know, get the information. He was able to get them to, you know, answer his questions and things like that, and get them. So he had I think a very, very a lot of ability to relate to people, connect with people, and a lot of empathy to understand where people were coming from, and a very good he is totally in control of his own emotions, and he needed to be good at that, to be able to do that. And Larry King, I believe, was the master.
That's very interesting. Yes, I think many of the people who have stood the test of time in the media do have that skill because they're able to be in situations with tough guests and still get some candor and authenticity from them. That's very interesting, Larry King.
Exactly. Yeah, they have to be able to put their emotions aside and be able to be almost whatever their judgments are, the people put them aside for the time being, and just be able to engage these people. That's quite a amazing skill that they have.
Yeah. Very cool. So what do you see as the future for emotional intelligence, Harvey?
Well, I see it in being used really broadly in the school system and basically all the school systems within the next 10 years, I think with the economic situation, there, the schools are, don't have the money, are afraid to try anything new. But I think once that turns around, I think there's going to be a real push to get emotional intelligence in the schools, and I can see this not only in the schools. I think it will be a part of our, see it being used just for self-help. I mean, there'll be a lot of books written on how to use emotional intelligence, probably in your everyday life, that type of thing, and it'll become part of our everyday type of experience. Everybody will know what it is and sort of understand what it means and know how to use it. So it'll be much more broadly understood and used.
Well, it just starts with your book, which makes it a very practical and applicable immediately. I'm thinking that in the schools now they've found it necessary to do diversity training, and that has a lot to do with having kids develop empathy and emotional intelligence, does it not?
Oh, a lot to do, and we have to learn a lot more empathy, and we have to learn to be get along with one another, to be much more flexible than as a society, and it starts in the schools than we ever had to in the past, because we're so much in interacting with other cultures, not only in business but just in the world. So we have to learn to understand, and we have to learn get along with one another for our future well-being. So, and the best place to start is with children and to start in school. That's the easiest place to start, and that's the most effective place to start teaching it and learning it.
And so many families can work on that at home. And I know we read in the paper a lot about these overreactions on Facebook and some of the social networking. That's another area where children and young adults need to use their emotional intelligence not to overreact and to escalate the kinds of really frightening interactions that make the news about overreacting on the internet.
And the problem with the internet is it's so easy to overreact, and it's so hard to really get true messages sometimes because we're reading the words, we can't really see the person, we don't get the feeling for the emotions behind it, and that's a whole other issue when we're sending emails. We don't often get the true meaning or the feeling that's coming across. So that's a whole other area that in the future I see there's going to be a lot of work to be done in written just communication out there.
Yeah. So I think you're leading the way. So are you planning other books coming up in this field?
Well, I'm working on another book on emotional intelligent relationships, but I'm so busy with doing things like radio interviews and talks regarding my book. I'm just going to Chicago on Sunday to talk to special needs education group. There are 500 people, so I'm very busy and I don't have a lot of time to write. But sometime in the future, yeah, I'd like to get another book out there.
Okay, well, our time is up. Can you quickly give your website one more time?
It's www.theotherkindofsmart, that's one word, .com, www.theotherkindofsmart.com, just the title of the book.
Great. Thanks so much, Harvey. It's been a great interview. Thank you.
It's been great, Randy. Thanks a lot.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolf, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.